Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the At Lexi podcast. Soon to be the Lexi podcast. I'm going to drop the at sign. I loved it initially because it was diary style of a girl that grew up in the age of the internet. And I have the handle Lexi on Instagram and on Twitter. So I liked the idea of instead of it being Lexi, it was at Lexi because it sort of felt of the times. That being said, with the at sign tagging everything on every platform, if I don't have Lexi, I end up tagging something else on accident. So we're going to drop it. It's the Lexi podcast coming soon to an intro near you next week. I have a story to tell you. Do you have time? Of course you have time because this is a podcast. So if you're getting ready for your commute, maybe you're on a little walk, listen up. This is the story of how I got my housekeepers drunk. And this story takes place today. This afternoon, it actually just ended. I decided this is the year of outsourcing. I want help in areas of my life that I think are not my strong suits. And if I can outsource them, I want to see what that's like so I can use my time more wisely to do things that I'm better at and could potentially earn more money at to make all of the choices worth it. For example, wanted to hire an editor. I did. One day, maybe we'll like have a video together or something. Who knows? So have an editor. Check that off. Now I wanted a housekeeper. We have a housekeeper or like we'll have a housekeeper come as needed, you know, after a party, a long stay of a certain friend. Not like a certain friend that wasn't targeted, I swear. But you know, when like someone's staying with you and you just want like a little fresh start, we'll have a housekeeper come. But no, I want housekeepers coming twice a month. That sounds well worth it. When I put in how much it would cost for the year, split it between me and my roommate, seemed incredibly worth it. So today was one of those days. 9 a.m, they knock on the door, I let them in, and they start cleaning. I want to get out of their hair, so I decide to run a little errand. I'm going to go to the grocery store, and I'm going to pick up my prescription. Shout out birth control and antidepressants. You keep me moving. You keep me up and at 'em. So I go to do that. I leave my house, nothing's out of the ordinary. I come back, I don't know, max 15 minutes later. It was a very short errand. I come back home. I see that this enormous tree in my front yard is no longer vertical. It has fallen from my side of the street across the road and landed on the other side of the street. That's how big the tree is. And it has fallen along with a light post on a car. And I can't imagine when this happened. It couldn't have happened very long ago. What? I was gone for 15 minutes and the tree in our front yard has fallen over. It's completely collapsed. And then I think, oh God, whose car is that? That's so unfortunate. I come inside. It's my housekeeper's car. I feel so bad for them. I don't know what to do. I am physically not able to get the tree off of the car, so I can't help in that sense. There's a language barrier, so even giving my condolences feels tricky, but I used Google Translate best I could. I wanted to hug them, but I don't want to invade their personal space, so I did what any irrational but still sane person would do. I opened the fridge and I offered them beers. So what? It's before noon. A pole just fell on their car. They both took them. Mr. chugged his immediately, was ready for round two. Thankfully, they also clean our downstairs neighbor's house. So they come up and we're chatting and they know them better. A little bit more camaraderie is happening. They seemed in good spirits, all things considered. And then they go back to cleaning my bathroom. I'm like, no, don't clean. Go chill and sit on the deck until your son comes to get you or let me know where I can take you. I'm happy to drive you anywhere. Thankfully, there was some construction happening down the street. So those people see this and then they just get their chainsaws and come up our block and they start helping out. Some sort of law enforcement. It wasn't a police officer, but someone of the sort, someone in uniform came and was talking about what belongs to the city and what's going to be our property owner's fault. I just want to make sure that the housekeepers don't have to go through hoops to get their car fixed and given back to them in good shape. This happened, I'm not kidding. They left my house 15 minutes ago. If you hear any construction sound, I'm sitting with the door open on the deck. That way I can, you know, hear if anything's happening. I also have cookies baking on the deck. they were frozen. So I decided this can be my post-podcast treat. So I laid out aluminum foil on the deck that now has no tree to give shade. So it's just direct sunlight. And I have two frozen chocolate chip cookies defrosting on my deck.
What the fuck? It's just a Tuesday. It's just a Tuesday. This is a random Tuesday. You never know what the day has in store.
I don't know why this is where my brain always goes, but when something like this happens, I'm like, thank God I never killed myself. I mean, the days never cease to amaze me. I said this to my friend recently. She's like, oh, I want to die. I was like, no, at least let's go to Antarctica and see the penguins first. Like, I think there needs to be you have to do all of these things before you're allowed to off yourself. This is my controversial, nuanced take on suicide prevention. I think before you take it all away from yourself, max out that credit card and go see some penguins. Get a 5-star hotel. Go do some crazy things. Go to New Zealand. I'm going to New Zealand. I'll be going to New Zealand in a month and I'm so excited. But yeah, that's my new thing is anytime someone's like, ugh, kill me. I'm like, no, we have to see the penguins first. I'm taking you to Antarctica and then we can have this conversation, but no. And I suggest everyone makes a list like that for yourself. I sound like I'm kidding, but I'm not. I'm not. I really don't think anyone should be taking their own life. I remember my school teacher, we had to have been too young. We were in sixth grade, maybe seventh. And she's like, I've just never understood suicide. Like, if someone's making you feel that way, like, wouldn't you opt for homicide? And she really just sat there and told a group of sixth or seventh graders, she's like, why suicide when you could have homicide? This is pre-school shootings, okay? The epidemic was much different. So I'm not opting for that. I just remember that being a crazy take. I'd like to have faith that my listeners have critical thinking skills and you can read between the lines of what I'm saying. So if I get canceled for this, so be it. So fucking be it. Can't hurt me because I have a suicide list. Oh, you want to bully me? I'm going to go see the penguins and max out my credit card and travel the world and maybe buy a boat and live on that for 6 months to a year. And then I'll buy some skis and I'll live in a mountain. Maybe I'll live at the Ritz-Carlton. Hell, catch me at Chateau Marmont. I'm going to be doing some glamorous things before I'm offing it. You know, I have some things I need to do. I also created a new little slogan for the podcast. For the ones that want to feel more alive. I also rewrote the bio for this show and I'm going to be changing the cover art. As I said, I want to drop the at sign. It's just not necessary. It's not necessary. And I'm done with this being described as a diary style podcast. I want it to be inclusive of that, but it's more than that. So now we have Lexi, a consistently evolving conversation about life, culture, and self-discovery. Hosted by Lexi Lombard, a storyteller with an infectious love for life. The weekly podcast blends personal reflections and cultural commentary. You can expect raw honesty, thought-provoking conversations, and the occasional existential spiral wrapped in humor, warmth, and curiosity for the seekers, the thinkers, and the ones who want to feel more alive. So that's what you're listening to, y'all. And if you want to vote on my cover art, go to my handle, LEXIE on Instagram, and I posted 3 options for cover art. The first one is me standing with my thumb out hitchhiking. The comment I received on that is it's hard to tell that my thumb is out and it just looks like I'm standing on the side of the road. But that's like, come along for the adventure. We're hitching a ride. The second one, little polka dot dress sitting in the middle of the open road. It's chic, but it's adventurous. And then the third one, I'm in a motel feeling like I'm giving a cover girl. That one, the font is more print. The other two are cursive. I'm not as crazy about the third, but I wanted to throw it in there. I'd like to hear your thoughts. You can totally vote. I'll probably change it within the week. So if it's still up, if it hasn't changed yet, there's still time to vote. I really can't believe that a tree fell on my housekeeper's cars. I also hate that I'm the person to smile and laugh when uncomfortable. My friend and I were being told a really, really heartfelt story. And for as sensitive of a person as I am, I hate that I start laughing in times of trouble. Like, I hate it. My dad does the same thing. He and I will be smiling in inappropriate situations. And it's not because we think it's cute or funny. I promise. I would rather die. I would rather go see the penguins than be caught smiling in front of someone in pain. I hate that I do that. And I'm so glad that I saw the tree when I was by myself. I couldn't believe it. It's hard to, like, what the fuck? I was gone for 15 minutes and then the tree is completely rotten. And we had this beautiful tree that hung over the deck, like right next to it. So we had two big trees in our front yard and now they're both gone. But the first one I loved. It was one of my favorite trees. If you've ever seen, I'm sure I had to have posted photos of my deck, but it was this spiky tree and I guess it was dying. And you have to cut trees that are dying or else they'll rot and they will fall. And now I understand that because I cried when that tree was cut. I'm not even kidding. I considered moving. I asked my roommate if she thought this could be an omen that our time is done here. And she's like, no, the tree was just dead. And I'm like, no, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. I don't think it's good that this tree is gone. But now that I saw the other tree fall and it's all dried up inside, because obviously Spoon and I, my little dog, when we're coming back from the store, we have to go and examine it. He's like off leash, like sniffing around. I'm looking around as if we know anything about what we're looking at. I'm like picturing him with a little notepad taking notes on the experience, like a little detective. But it was all dried up inside, which is not what I imagined for the inside of a tree, which damn shows how long it's been since I've really been in the forest. If I had this conversation or was thinking about this as, I don't know, a 10-year-old, I was probably seeing dead trees on a weekly basis, if not more than that. Like, I used to hang out in the woods all the time. Wow. I really don't hang out in the woods enough. I go to the park a lot, I will say, as an adult. Right now, I have a park near my house that's enormous, and I love it, and it feels like a jungle. Prospect Park was my park that I adored when I lived in Brooklyn. I would try to go there at least 3 or 4 times a week. Obviously, if I was there every day, it was a really good week, but going to the park to me is like sort of like exercising. Like the more you do it, the better you feel. But I'm not gonna blame myself if life gets in the way and I can't be at the park every day. But I will say having a dog has really pushed that habit up because I'm like, well, he needs to go outside. He needs to experience the outdoors and run around and play in the trees. And we took a different path yesterday at the park and it was really, really, really fun. And I did see a big tree lying down. So this is actually the second tree in 2 days that I've seen. But that one didn't look rotted the same way this one did. You don't care. The story was that I was drinking beers with my housekeepers and I feel so bad for them. Let's see what my neighbor just texted me. Okay, I thought I heard fire engines. I guess the fire department is coming. Let's see if they're here. 1 second. The fire department has arrived. My fabulous, empowered neighbor called 911. Spoon? No. He wants to get the chocolate chip cookies. Oh, yeah, that's a firefighter. Should I go be a rubbernecker? The nosiness is, it's there. I do have the desire. Ugh. Okay, I'm gonna go peek. Wow, okay, fire department came. They looked hot, they looked sexy. They didn't really do a whole lot. I guess that's not their job, to clean up trees. So they just told us a number to call. And now I'm back up here. What a day. What a week it's been here on the second day. I had the most boring weekend known to man because I have one of the most annoying things happen to you when you're an adult. Get sick. When you're sick as a kid, it's like, oh, fun. I'm going to grandpa and grandma's. I can watch Full House and be horizontal and have the kids at school miss me. And then I get to be like, oh my God, what happened? What did I miss while I was gone? No, what happened to me is I just missed a friend's birthday. I miss how cool would have this been an Oscar nominee dinner party and cocktail hour. I was looking forward to these things and instead I was congested and exhausted, so heavily fatigued. I mean, even taking the garbage out, I had to like sit down on the steps and catch my breath. It was that bad. And my MO is always like, how pathetic, because I have a hard time allowing my physical body to rest when I am feeling physically ill. And I always think that it's mental illness. I'm so in tune with my mind that sometimes I forget that my physical body will get sick because in my head, I'm taking such good care of it. I'm resting, I'm getting, you know, my quality sleep every single night, and I'm waking up and spending time outside during the day, and I'm exercising and I'm eating well and I'm staying hydrated. So when I get sick, I'm like, well, I didn't do anything. Like if I got sick and it was after a music festival or I was drinking or smoking a ton and all of a sudden my lungs hurt, it's like that feels, there's probable cause. But when there's no probable cause, I'm like, well, it can't be this. this sleeping schedule is quite reminiscent of my depression one, so it's got to be that. No, no, no. Once, like, the sore throat happened, I'm like, okay. It's a little lame to have a cold as a 28-year-old, but here we are doing our best. So I've tried to be good. I haven't been to a workout class in 4 or 5 days, and I miss it. I just still don't feel totally well enough to get up and at him. Even with Spoon, what I've been doing instead of taking him on the hike around the park, I just take him to the park and I've been sitting on my ass and throwing pine cones so he can go chase them or sticks. We did go on a little walk yesterday, a different path, and that was nice, but I was taking several breaks. I was overdoing it and I regret it a little bit. So after this episode, when I have my chocolate chip cookie, which has also been a weird new fixation of mine. Not that chocolate chip cookies are weird by any means, but I'm not a baker. Let me not get ahead of myself. I'm going to try to take him on a little bit of a walk after I eat my cookies and finish recording. Now for the chocolate chip cookies. I saw a video online of the Martha Stewart fired me chocolate chip cookies, and I thought, okay, those sound good. I want to try to make them. And then I remembered my friend Meadowlark has this iconic recipe for chocolate chip cookies that she keeps on her fridge. I've screenshotted it so many times. I even have her friends writing their recipe on their fridge, courtesy of Meadow, and I have those screenshotted, and I've just never made them because I don't like baking. It's just, I don't know if it's because I'm the daughter of a diabetic and having a quantity of sweets at the house has just never seemed like a good idea. They always feel like they're gonna go to waste unless I'm baking for something. But even still, I've just never been the girl who bakes. Like, there was always one of those in school. Like, there was always a girl that was like, oh, I made these. I brought these in for the class because I made these. How cute is that? What an adorable little hobby. Have never related to that. Love it. Couldn't relate. I decided to bake. I don't know anything about baking, but the cookies turned out really flat. Something was wrong. Asked my friend Meadow. Apparently cake flour and all-purpose flour don't bake the same. So she's laughing, thinking this is hilarious. As someone who doesn't bake, I'm like, nothing's funny about this. Like, she thought it was hilarious. Maybe if you bake a lot, you're like, ha, cake flour for cookies? How could you? Ha, ha, you imbecile. I was like, oh, didn't realize that was such a rookie mistake. So then a normal person's like, okay, we baked a whole batch of cookies on Sunday. It didn't work. They still taste good. The texture is chewy. They're just really flat. A normal person would say, okay, I'll try next week. Like, next Sunday, we'll do it again. No, Monday morning, I wake up at 7 a.m. I check what time the store opens, and then I go there first thing, and I get myself some all-purpose flour. I make the dough, and I leave it in the fridge till I can bake it. Then a friend had to come over and drop something off, so I baked us cookies to sample it, and then they're perfect. They're amazing. And then I rolled the rest into their own cookie dough balls, and I keep them in the freezer. And now if I want a cookie, I can just bake one cookie. So that's exciting. I really figured that there was going to be something wrong with this recipe too. So I had it in my head that I'm going to be baking a batch of chocolate chip cookies every single day this week. But it really was just the cake flour thing. Baking is good for that reason, where if you just follow the directions, they will turn out. They say baking is a science, so if you just follow the order of operations, you will have a consistent result. And that was fun. There's something therapeutic about that. And now I feel like I should bake more because I had to get all the ingredients to do this. So now I just have brown sugar in the fridge that I need something to do with. And I have eggs now, and I kind of have an egg ick at the moment, which is so convenient because eggs are at an all-time high. So great that I'm not craving having 3 to 4 eggs a day. But now I need to find something to do with my eggs, and I have sugar and cornstarch and now a ton of flour. So if you have any recipes that have turned out really well, maybe I'll make biscuits or cinnamon rolls. Nothing too sweet, because even though I said I'm the daughter of a diabetic, I also have PCOS and insulin resistance. So I do have to be careful with my sugar. I've been really, really, really good about my sugar the past like year or two, and I noticed a definite difference. And sugar is so addictive, which is why I wake up now thinking about chocolate chip cookies, because you have one, you're like, fuck, that's so good. I want dessert after breakfast, after lunch, and after dinner. I would be so fat if I started doing that. And I don't want to get fat. I've worked so hard. I've done everything. But you know, if you have any recipes, what other updates did I want to give? Mostly it was beers with the housekeeper and rebranding the pod. And then, of course, the annoyance of getting sick as an adult. That's where I'm at. A little life update, a little catch up. Let me know what you think. Has there been any, like, sky is falling moments politically? There always are, but I feel like it's calmed down, at least in a personal horizon, since the Los Angeles fires and Donald Trump's election, and then the Heil Hitler salute from Elon. I guess I'll get into your questions, but first, a word from today's sponsors. Your daily routine could be full of hormone disruptors that you don't even know. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, they're all messing with our hormones. And then on top of it, there's the natural hormonal change that our bodies go through. Premenopause, menopause, our monthly cycle. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we don't also suffer through it. The good news is there are people that care, and we don't need to suffer through it anymore because we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. The beauty of adaptogens is that they help your body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Symptoms like PMS irritability, moodiness, discomfort, uncontrollable cravings. Menopause symptoms like hot flashes or night sweats, racing thoughts, low mood, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com. And use the code Lexi for 15% off today.
Everyone and their mother has heard of Wegovy and Ozempic. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, which is the same active ingredient as Ozempic and Wegovy, but for 80% less. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. The four reasons I like Effecty are: one, upfront pricing. They're transparent, it's fair, and there's no hidden fees, unlike a lot of the companies out there. And there's no membership required, and you can cancel at any time. Two, hands-on support. So you get a dedicated customer service team and unlimited access to licensed doctors, whether figuring out dosage or helping you stay on track, they are there to guide you. Three, accessibility. No matter where you live, Effecty makes it easy to access GLP-1 treatments. So the entire process is online and remote. And four, science-backed treatments. The GLP-1 medications are backed by clinical studies showing significant weight loss results. They focus on sustainable weight management, not just helping you lose weight, but keeping it off with science-backed solutions. Ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners can get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code Lexi at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com. And use the code Lexi to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. Get started today.
I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone, but with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults aged 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com.
I'm already seeing a lot of relationship questions, so that could be a reoccurring theme in this Q&A. Starting off with, how fast should you start getting out there after a 3-year relationship? I mean, that totally depends on you, and that depends on the relationship, which is not a fun answer to give, but some people mourn the relationship when the breakup happens. Some people mourn the relationship far before the breakup. So they are mentally preparing to be single. Like, they've already mentally been away from this person or separated from this person long before the on paper breakup. So if that's the case, then you might already be farther along the healing process and be ready to get back out there. Also, there's nothing wrong with a little distraction. That can be harmless. I mean, I think it's important to be in tune with yourself and your desires and your abilities. Some people don't have a casual bone in their body, so casually seeing someone shortly after a breakup is not in the cards. Other people can do that, and that's a great healing distraction. So I would say, if
someone is catching your interest, you know, take it slow or pursue it as it feels right. But if you get any bells, alarms, flags in your orbit that are like, I don't know if I'm ready for this, take a step back. There's no rush to anything. But if you're feeling excited over the idea of introducing yourself to someone else, getting to know someone else, go for it. There's no harm in that. Alex asked, do you think sleeping with a guy on the fourth date is too soon if three dates have been 5 hours each? Oh, we have a FaceTime from Emily. Emily, you want to say hi to the podcast?
Hey, podcast.
We have a question from Alex, our Alex. She asked, do you think sleeping with a guy on the fourth date is too soon if three dates have been 5 hours each?
Girl, why were you fucking on the first date?
Even the fact that she's qualifying it, being like, is it too soon? We've had three dates and they've all been 5 hours each. I'm like, I don't know. If you want to fuck, you fuck. If you don't, you're not ready, don't.
Go for it,
babe. Okay, let me call you back after. Love you, bye. I think that there's, of course, merit in holding out. But if you're down and you're ready and the vibe is there and it feels right, go for it. The only reason I ever hold off is out of self-protection. If I'm not sure what someone's intentions are with me and I'm not trying to get involved in something casually from their end, if it's more serious on my end, if I feel detached from it, I'm not even thinking about, is it too soon, because I'm not attached. It sounds like you're interested if you're already saying, like, it's been this many dates and we've seen each other for this long, like, is it too soon? It's like, clearly then you have a crush, you know, which if that's the case, then this means a little something to you. And then you want to proceed with a little bit more caution because this feels precious, you know, you're like, wait, I'm a little interested. Like, I do have some teeth in the game for this. Like, if we sleep together and he doesn't call me back, my feelings are going to be hurt. So I think, yes, it's too soon because of the way that you asked this question. If you're coming from the perspective of like, am I a slut? It's like, okay, then you're afraid of that perception. But I think you're afraid of sleeping with him and then it not turning into anything because you have feelings. So then I would say, yes, it's too soon and give it some time. Daniela Daisies asked, favorite kitchen utensil? I mean, there's been a change in my life at this point. I think I now have to say spoon. And you know what's so funny is, if you guys don't know who Daniela Daisies is, she's an amazing artist. She's an illustrator. And we are working on a coloring book together because I have fallen so deeply into the coloring book TikTok. I have the markers, I have the white paint pen, and I love the bold and easy coloring books. And she saw that. She's like, I've been wanting to work on something. Would you want to make a coloring book together? And so we're going to do it. And I think we'll just sell it on Amazon. And what's so crazy is that she's like, I always hide spoons in my work. And so the fact that you have a dog and you named him Spoon, I'm like also wanting to hide him. So she drew one picture and it's my spoon in a spoon. And then we also have like little Easter eggs and stuff in the pictures. So for example, like one of the keys, the numbers is my birthday. And there's little like hidden meanings and fun things in it. But that should be finished soon. We just have to get the book and approve it and see if it's right. And then y'all could get it. And that would be so fun. Because the thing is, I like the bold and easy coloring books, but they're AI generated, most of them, like probably all the ones that you're coloring, like, you know, the ones I'm talking about, if you're on coloring TikTok. And I just don't necessarily want to be coloring a Stanley cup. And that's okay. But have I been? Because that's what's out there. Or I'm coloring, just, I want it to be a little cooler, a little cuntier, a little bit more fun. So that's what we're doing. You know, if you can't find it, make it. And that's the plan. So I'll keep you updated on that. Morgan Lombard asked, who's your least favorite cousin? She also asked, can I have a guest feature? I would love to have my cousin Morgan on this podcast for two reasons. One, she's family, and I've never had an episode with family. I've had my mom and my grandmas on my YouTube channel. I don't know, like, my dad's made like some little appearances, but he's camera shy, so not really. But Morgan has definitely been on the YouTube channel over the years, and she is the closest thing I have to a sister. We're 2 years apart. We grew up really close to each other and we're still very close. So I want you to get to know my family. Two, she could not be more different than me. Like, she she couldn't be more different. And she is short-fused. She's stubborn. She has a temper. She's very... I love her. I fucking love her. How would I describe her? She's funny. She's efficient. Like, I'm the romantic one. I'm the one stopping to smell the flowers. She's like, hurry the fuck up. I'm not waiting for you any longer. Like, I wanted to be at the store 2 hours ago. Like, she is always on a mission. And I think it would be a really fun balance and conversation for you guys to ask us questions and you get to know us. And I think it'll have you get to see a different side of me as well. So yeah, Morgan, if you can get your ass out to LA, of course, of course. Ella asked for tips for PCOS. So PCOS is a frustrating diagnosis because it's an umbrella term. PCOS stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome, and a lot of women are receiving this diagnosis. The thing about polycystic ovarian syndrome, poly meaning many, cystic ovarian syndrome, that would mean that there are cysts in your ovaries. I did not have a single cyst in my ovary and I still received that diagnosis. So it can mean a lot of things and the symptoms vary. Mine was irregular periods. Some people have hair loss or strange hair growth or weight gain. I also like carry a lot of weight in my midsection and I had to, you know, go on medication and really work on my diet and my lifestyle changes if I wanted to change that. So I would say, get your sleep, your diet, and your exercise in order. Get your stress in order. Your eating, your exercise, so in turn your weight. And keep an eye on your menstrual cycle and your symptoms and find a doctor that you trust. Those would be my pieces of advice. Because the symptoms are really frustrating. And if you can live without them, I highly recommend. So those are my tips. I don't want to speak too much on anything sort of medical. I received a message on my Patreon because I talk about this iron supplement called Lifeblood all the time because I love it. And someone reached out and they said, I've been taking it, but I haven't noticed a difference. You know, should I give up or keep going? And the thing is, there are so many factors. You have your own body and I have my own body. So I don't know why your body's reacting differently. Also, it's an iron supplement. Like, I've had some friends that hear me rave about this iron supplement. They take it without being low in iron and they're like, it didn't do anything for me. It's like, yeah, because you're not low in iron. So having an iron supply or an iron efficiency suddenly enter your body is not the effect that you're going to have. I went from being low in iron to suddenly being sufficient in it. And I felt amazing because it was also a high quality supplement. If you're not low in iron, you're going to take it and feel nothing and be disappointed. So similar for PCOS, it's like, I don't know your symptoms. I experience irregular periods. So if someone was trying to ask me about, okay, the cysts hurt, I don't even know that's true. I'm just making that up. Or I'm really frustrated with my hair loss. I'm not going to have answers for that. But the best I can say is to manage your lifestyle, your sleep, your eating, your exercise, and your stress, and then find a doctor you trust. Oh, anonymous. I love my new boyfriend, but not his style. I really value appearance. How do I help him nicely? You know what? I'm going to call my friend and we can keep her anonymous because she's also dating a guy that she didn't like his style and she's been slowly giving him a makeover. I also think Tyra would be good for answering this question, but she is on a work trip right now. Let me see where my friend is at. I love Find My Friends. Oh, she's connecting. Hi.
Hi.
You can answer this anonymously. We're on the podcast. Oh, no. Okay. I said I'm calling a friend. I haven't mentioned your name. So the question, anonymous said, I love my new boyfriend, but not his style. I really value appearance. How can I help him nicely?
I think that you can suggest spending time together at a really good vintage store or a really good flea market. And you can point something out that you find attractive and be like, you would look so good in those.
Like, try these on.
Try these on and just, I think, you know, put a lot of emphasis on how good they look.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will, good thing my boyfriend's gonna listen to this podcast because he already listens to Lexi. So this is really exciting for me. But he, by the way, he looks so awesome lately. So I'm so proud.
Yeah, he looks great.
Yeah. And to be honest, that is what we did, where I was like, let's go to the Silver Lake Flea. I think you should try these on. I like this, whatever. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
That's a sufficient answer.
Yeah, totally. I'm loving my phone of friends. What do you guys think of this? Bringing in people that I think would have greater advice than me, because I often date men that I don't like their style. I will say that if I look at my track record, actually, I dated one pretty stylish guy, and that was fun, except for I wondered if it leaned too superficial. Because almost there's something charming about a man having bad style, because if he thinks too much about style, I'm like, why do you know so many? Like, you can't be into consumerism more than I am. This is already an issue that we're dealing with nationally and internationally. Huh? So that's my own personal cross to bear. But I do think that taking him to a store, I also think if you see a good outfit on Instagram, to send it to him and be like, you would look so good in this. Like, I need to see you try this outfit. Like, I think you would look so hot in it. And then hype them up, you know, show that it like turns you on, or like you're really attracted to them wearing that. That's what I would say. So thanks. Thanks, Morgs. Also, Josh, if you're listening to this, you're looking great. Lotus Flower just asked for book recommendations. I just read a book called Split the Difference. I try to read one nonfiction and one fiction book a month, which, by the way, I think people who don't read very often think like, oh, like reading like two books a month, like that's no biggie. You have to dedicate time to reading it, unless you're a really fast reader. I think people assume because I read a lot that I would be a fast reader. I'm not a very fast reader. I think I'm a pretty average, maybe even a slow reader. It takes me a good bit of time. But my nonfiction book rec is Split the Difference. It's a book on negotiation and how you can use it in business, with people, just generally, you know, everything from a contract to a grumpy grandpa. And it's coming from the perspective of an FBI hostage negotiator. And his point of view is that if I can speak to someone that has been a kidnapper and get him to release a person, you can get an extra $500 from this company. You know, you can get grandpa to be a little bit easier during Thanksgiving, you know? So I really enjoyed that. And then my fiction read was The Shards by Bret Easton Ellis. And that was such a fun read. I listened to it on Audible because Bret narrates it. And I like when the author narrates it. If the author's not narrating it, I have a hard time listening to the audiobook, because I also downloaded American Psycho by him after, and I didn't like the narrator's voice as much, and I've lost interest. And then I've even lost more interest because I ended up watching American Psycho, the movie. And now I'm like, well, fuck, I can't just read it now. No one ever reads the book after watching the movie. So I screwed myself. But I would recommend those two books. Another nonfiction book, if you're looking for practical, actionable steps, if you've already read Split the Difference, I would also recommend The 4-Hour Work Week. And I think that's by Tim Ferriss. And that is a jam-packed textbook, let me tell you. Slipping into the lava. Do you ever see Maddie Bragg anymore? I miss her being on the internet. Ugh, I miss Maddie being on the internet too. Maddie has chosen a life that's far less online, and I think it suits her very well. She works at a place that I love to frequent, and it's always a pleasure when I get to see her. But I am very, very proud of her. I think it's very difficult. I could imagine, you know, I have some parallels to my experience, but she was an internet it girl as a teenager. And you don't really understand as a teenager what it means to be putting yourself on the internet. So then when you decide, wait, I actually don't want this, and you take a step back, I'm really proud of her. She knows what she wants and she knows what she needs, and she does that. Helen asks for my dreamiest day. My dreamiest day would be waking up early with some sort of mission. Like, I need to hop on a flight, or I'm meeting a friend for some road trip, or maybe a workout class. It doesn't need to be as adventurous as a trip. It could be, I mean, even like, it could be something boring. It could be an appointment, you know, just something that I need to like get up. I have to push myself to get up. I'm not naturally waking up. Hear me out. I kind of like that, because then I start my day earlier than I would want to, because I can sleep. Obviously, I don't sleep as long now that I have a dog. And
That's good for me. But something that forces me to get up, and I'm up earlier so the day feels longer. And then I have a whole morning experience, and then maybe I have a lunch or I go shopping or I go on a hike. I do some sort of activity. So my morning is taken up, and then I have lunch, and then I go back and there's nonverbal chill time. I'm horizontal, or maybe I'm taking a shower and then I'm horizontal, and it's just chill time. And then I get ready for an evening and have a fun night out. I want a fun morning, a slow afternoon, and a long night. That's my dreamiest day. Oh, similar question. It's so interesting how there's always similar questions back to back, because on the first page there were three relationship questions, and now we have dreamiest day. And Linda asked, what would Lexi's perfect weekend look like? Tell me the details. She wouldn't be sick, that's for sure. Oh, also in the horizontal time, like it could be giggling. Like if your friend's staying with you, because maybe in this dream, I have a friend in town. And so we like shower and we get back and we're like giggling, looking through our phone, or I'm reading. Who knows? What would my perfect weekend look like? My perfect weekend would be going out Thursday night, but not staying out too late or drinking too much that I'm hungover and it ruins my Friday. I want to have a fun work Friday that ends, and then maybe I get dinner on Friday, but I go to bed early and I don't feel the need to go out because I went out Thursday. And then I wake up Saturday morning and I do acupuncture at like 8:30 in the morning. And then I go to the park with friends that also have dogs, and our dogs all play and run around, and we take a long walk or we play fetch with them. We're running around, we're having fun, we're outside. It's a beautiful day. There's a little bit of a breeze, but it's nice and it's sunny and the sun is hitting my skin. And then same thing, I have my slow afternoon. I love a slow afternoon. And I repeat the dreamy day where then I shower and I get ready and I have a long night. Saturday, maybe I go out again. I'm thinking this through. And then Sunday, there's nothing on the docket. It's completely free. I could sleep in till noon if I want. I could wake up at 8 and go to the farmer's market if I want. There's no obligations. I have no plans. I can decide what I want to do day of. If I want to see a bunch of people, great. Let's all meet up. Let's go to a diner. Let's recap our weekend. If I want to have solo time, if I want to wash my sheets, I want to do the dishes, I want to get the house clean, I can do that. If I want to FaceTime or call my family, I can do that. Sunday is for me to decide day of. And then I plan my Monday, Sunday night, and that's my ideal weekend. Sierra asked, what are you looking forward to most this spring and summer? Well, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, I was really craving a trip to Australia. I really, really wanted to go. And you can ask for what, but you cannot ask for how. So I said that I wanted a trip to Australia, and the universe said, okay, well, one of your best friends from Paris is going to start spending more time in California. And she is going to invite you to come on her tour where she's opening up for a band. And you go on tour with her and you meet the band and that band and you hit it off, and they are from Australia. And then when they are in LA for their LA show, they invite you and your friend to a day in Malibu of hanging out, making music, playing soccer, hanging out in the hot tub, hanging out in the pool, making a really nice family dinner. And then they invite both of you on their tour in Australia and New Zealand. So I am spending half of March and half of April in Australia and New Zealand. And I truly cannot wait. I will bring my podcast equipment. You will get episodes from there. I will vlog, which I have been on YouTube. Guys, this is really, really cool. Me talking about my YouTube channel. I've been vlogging. There has been a video that has gone up not just last Friday, but the Friday before. And guess what? There's another one going up this Friday. And guess what? Another one going up next Friday. So I'm getting in the rhythm. I'm always a more active person in all aspects of my life in spring and summer. It's just when I thrive. I mean, this morning, pre-tree fall, I was sitting out on the steps with Spoon, and there's butterflies flying all around. There's bees, there's birds, there's squirrels. I love it. Everyone's up and out and in the sun and the warmth. If I could just wear short shorts, flip-flops, and a bikini top, I would be the happiest camper. So I'm just generally excited for the weather of spring and summer. My birthday is coming up in 2 weeks. I'm not very excited for that. I don't like planning. I like being invited places. I don't like inviting people places. I don't like doing things like that. It's no fun for me. So I need to come up with something because I really don't want to have a birthday dinner. I want to do something more fun than that. The thing is, because I want more than 4 or 5 people to come to my birthday, and I don't like having a sit-down dinner with more. Actually, okay, let me think this through, because there is an art to having a good dinner party. So when I talked about the Australian band, we had a dinner party, and that would have been with 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That was 8 people. But even still, it wasn't one communal conversation. I like having a dinner where there is one conversation. If the dinner is big enough to start breaking off into separate conversations, it's too big of a dinner table. That's not for me. That's for maybe you, but it's not for me. So the reason I don't like birthday dinners is because I want to celebrate with more than 4 or 5 people, but I don't think that you can have a nice, intimate, fun dinner with more than 4 or 5 people. So if that's the case, then it's like, do we go on a hike? Do we have a field day? Camp Lexi? Those are sort of where my head is at right now. So those are things that I'm excited for spring, even though I just complained about throwing a birthday. Like, I like the idea of, like, my birthday is always fun, but I don't like planning parties. Tori Ridge asked, if you were a cocktail, what cocktail would you be and why? It's a trickier question than it should be. Because my thought is, what are my favorite cocktails? I love a margarita, I love a dirty martini, and I love a Bloody Mary. I like a sort of like spicy, salty drink. But I don't think that that's what I would be. There has to be a little sweetness if I was a cocktail. Like sort of a hot honey vibe, you know? Like I got a little spunk, a little zest to me, but I'm sweet. So what would be a zesty, sweet cocktail? I don't have an answer for you. That's no fun. Oh, but I love champagne. I love champagne. I wish dirty martinis weren't becoming so basic, because they're so good. I don't think that really describes my personality. It's like my taste buds, but I don't think it's who I am. This is a hard question. I don't know, what kind of cocktail do you think I am? Okay, y'all want raw honesty? If that's what I'm saying in the bio of this podcast, let me give it to you. Jess asks, do you vape or smoke cigarettes? No, I don't vape. I smoke a cigarette like a fucking adult. Excuse me. But no, my real vice is I love a spliff. I like a spicy cigarette. You know what I mean? That in the sun, when the sun is starting to set, a little 4:30 p.m. spliff. Are you kidding me? I'm not recommending it, but I was asked, do I? And you know what's really interesting is, you would think between New York and LA, if I were to say, who do you think smokes more? Where do I see more people smoking cigarettes? In New York or LA? When I go out, LA. In New York, everyone drinks alcohol. So many people are sober in LA. You go to parties, so many people are not drinking, but they'll be outside chain smoking cigarettes. It's the craziest thing. In New York, though, you would think everyone would be smoking cigarettes, and like plenty of people do, but I would say more in LA. So if I'm drinking, or if I need a really good cry, nothing accompanies a really good cry like a cigarette. This video is sponsored by American Spirits. Thank you so much to American Spirit for supporting the Lexi podcast. I'm kidding. Don't smoke. Next question. You and your podcast always make me feel calm when I'm anxious. If you do a guest every second week, can we get an extra pod a week with you, or just some extra pods now and then? Okay, well, what I will say is I tried to line up a guest for this upcoming weekend, and I'm 1 for 3. I've asked 3 people and only 1 could do it. So will we actually be having a guest every other week? At this rate, no. So no need to worry. That's really sweet. I'm glad I calmed you down. Unfortunately, the reason that the solo pod, or fortunately for you, I should say, the reason the solo podcast works so well is because I'm always available to me, you know? It's my show, I'll always be there. Now, other people are available to them, and they're not always available to me. and they have their own lives and their own demons and their own schedules. Demons, parentheses, Chris Clemens laryngitis. So sometimes it doesn't work. My other guest had to fly back to Stockholm. So we'll do it again, but I'm afraid that when he comes back, I'll be in Australia. So we shall see. Please don't worry. You will still be hearing from me and just me a lot. And then if you can't get enough, I always have Patreon episodes. They're extended episodes of the podcast. That means you also get the podcast ad free. So that will be linked down below. And you know, if you just can't get enough of me, there's more of me there. Harry asked for finances and relationships in terms of romantic relationships. How important? What's your take? I'm traditional in the sense of I like to be courted. So if a man, I think I would feel differently. No, maybe even in a same-sex relationship. I like to be courted. I like to be the one being pursued in a relationship, whether that's with a man or with a woman. And if you want to impress me, I think you should cover the first couple dates. That just shows me that you are interested in me. If you want to go Dutch on it and split it, I'll think that we are platonic. I won't think that you're that interested in me because you're not trying to impress me. Now, down the line, when we're in a relationship, I'm not going to expect you to be paying for everything for me. I also like the idea of treating you as well. And I think if I have an idea for us, like, I'll get it. If you have an idea for us, you get it. And then we can also split things. But you know what I won't do? We're not going to be Venmoing each other. Uh-uh. That is so tacky to me. I hate when I'm on Venmo and I see couples and it's like Chipotle. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way that you felt that confident to publicly request or publicly pay your significant other for a $15 meal. I have too much pride for that. Nope. I would rather eat that $15 and never see it again. Do not request me for money on Venmo and do not pay me on Venmo. Nope. So that I won't be doing. Yeah, I want to be treated during the wooing process, the courting process. And then as for long term, I need to talk to adults in my family about what they do because my parents had a shared bank account. I wonder if maybe we'd have three bank accounts. We'd have personal bank accounts and then we'd share a joint one. I'm not sure how that would work. I think it depends on the amount of money. Like if I fall for someone that makes a similar amount of money than maybe the joint bank account, but if they make significantly more money than me, I don't know. It wouldn't be like, I don't think they would expect me to be contributing the same amount. I'm not sure. That's all I know so far. And Eliza asked, if you had siblings, would you rather have a sister-sister dynamic or a brother-sister dynamic? I'd want one of each. I'd want a sister and a brother. I think I'd want an older brother and a younger sister. I think so. Or maybe older brother and older sister. Then I could just be the baby. And I'm just like, tell me everything you know and spoil me, guys. And then also let me wander off on my own. But I think I'd want one of each. Do I answer something funny? Do I give you a niche answer? Or do I just give my truth? Mady Armstrong asked for the best feeling in the world. Obviously, love. What's better than that? But let me give you something specific. Let me give you something a little bit more niche that you can chew on. What are other feelings I love? I love feeling peace. I love feeling a little nervous. You know what I mean? When it's not to the point of anxiety, but you're about to do something. Like, I'm not talking about like the pre-date jitters when you're at your house. I'm talking about when you see them and you're walking up to the date. Like that sort of nerve, or when you finally step on stage or you're public speaking and you're three words in, that feeling. I also love the feeling of after having a really amazing conversation. Oh, there's so many good feelings in the world. I remember my friend and I did an exercise like this years ago and it stuck in my brain of writing our favorite feelings. And she had nervous on hers as well. And I always think that I'm like, that's a good one. So I'm curious what your favorite feelings are. I feel like I have talked for quite some time. So for you guys, I'm going to end off. And for Patreon, I'm going to give you a little exclusive tea into my personal life if you want some additional little stories. So If you were the girl that said, can we have more solo episodes? And I mentioned the Patreon will start for you guys right now. But for everyone else, thank you so much for listening. Take care, and I will talk to you next week. And remember to vote on my Instagram for which cover art you like best. I'll have my Instagram and the Patreon and anything else I mentioned linked down below. And I'll talk to you guys later. XOXO, Lexi.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.